This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 153 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, June 27, 2014. I am your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch, who is no longer, I found out, the plugin guru. No. So what do I call you now?
I'm the plugin critic. I've always been.
Critic, okay.
Yes, you have been getting it wrong this entire time.
Well, I always thought guru is a person who knows a lot about a certain subject, so now you're the plugin critic.
Yes, I would think Pippin would be a guru, not me, because he actually makes the plugins. So
I was going to call you, the WordPress plugin Cisco and Ebert, but you know you don't want to be called that either.
No, because they're both dead of horrible diseases.
Yeah, and that's probably not good to reference that. So anyways.
I'd like to be those guys on the Muppets that are up in the balcony.
Oh,
the plugin sucks.
Yeah, I remember those guys. So another week has gone by, another section of news to talk about in the WordPress ecosystem. Later on, we'll be talking with our special guest, Peter Buey, about Joomla, as a matter of fact. And you might be wondering why we're going to talk about Joomla on a WordPress-centric podcast. And, I figured I'd bring him on just to see what's going on over there. I think it's important to sort of know what's going on in the other open source communities, whether that be Drupal or Joomla, and just kind of get an update as to what's going on over there. What's the pulse? What's the status of Joomla? And talk about what he does with the Joomla Beat podcast. So that'll be a little later in the show. But we got a couple things to go over. In fact, two security pieces of news this week. The first is that the Pods framework, developed by Scott Kingsley Clark, released a patch to address a security vulnerability. As it turns out, that according to the announcement, those using the extended users pod are especially at risk. What it was is the combination of the pod's AJAX base form vulnerability, which had a vulnerability, combined with the extended users pod could allow users to gain access as an administrator to a site, and that's never good. To allow that to happen. So he's already addressed it. He's put out a patch. In fact, there's an even newer version, 2.4.3, which includes some hardening just to be safe to techniques within the plugin. And what's nice about what happened here is that Scott, not only did he quickly fix the issues, but he hired Mark Jakewith through his Covered Web Services to do a security audit. And Mark Jakewith is well known throughout the WordPress community as knows his stuff when it comes to WordPress security. Gave him the okay, and once Scott got the okay that his fixes didn't introduce any more vulnerabilities, he reached out to WP Engine, GoDaddy, iThemes, Securi, of course the Tavern, and PostStatus, and a few other publications that spread WordPress news, and was able to sort of get the word out quickly to those companies, those web hosting companies, so that they could quickly make sure that their customer sites were safe and using the most up-to-date plugins. So hopefully in the future, I plan on writing an article on the Tavern about how other WordPress plugin developers can help spread the word quickly when they have when they fix a critical vulnerability in a plugin. So that's just good footwork by Scott, and pretty cool to see that those companies were acted in a collaborative way to get the word out and keep their customers safe.
Yeah, and Pods, by the way, is a really great plugin to use that helps with custom content types, post types, fields, things like that. I use it for a number of my sites, so I was pretty aware of this vulnerability as soon as they put the message out there. But for those of you who really are kind of curious about, you know, custom fields and things like that, Pods is a pretty cool framework to play around with, so check that out for yourself.
Yeah, not only that, but there's a lot of extensions and integrations that Pods has now, and he's really doing a great job with the development work over there with Pods.
Yeah, so this should tell you, even though that there's a security vulnerability, the developers of the plugin noticed it, fixed it, and put the word out. So that's exactly what we're supposed to do in the WordPress community when we find things like this.
Mm-hmm. So the next big security piece of news this week is, hey, remember TimThumb? Yeah, that script that's so awesome that blew up people's sites a few years ago. Well, there's another security vulnerability, a zero-day, that was found in the TimThumb script, and it has to do with the WebShot feature of the plugin. So what you would have to do is, at least thankfully, TimThumb out of the box by default defines the WebShot feature as false. So that's neat. So what you would end up having to do is either use a command on the web server to search for WebShot being enabled, or even if the TimThumb script exists. I know there's a specific WordPress plugin out there that checks to see if TimThumb script is installed on the web server or within any of the themes, and then your next bet is to see if WebShot's enabled. We've received a few comments on the WordPress Tavern article that there are some other things that need to be turned on the server in order for people to exploit this, but it's a vulnerability nonetheless. And, after this vulnerability, and especially that major one that hit so many sites because so many themes were using the the script of a few years ago. A lot of people are questioning why is anyone using TimThumb these days? You know, because of the security hazards.
So yeah,
I don't know. So if you're using TimThumb, make sure that you look for see if WebShot is enabled on the server. If it is, immediately turn it off. But the good news is that by default, it's turned off by default. So just another exploit to keep in mind if you're using TimThumb. And actually, maybe you should look into using something else besides TimThumb because right now it doesn't have a very good track record.
No.
So we have some WordPress 4.0 news. In fact, I was reading the other day one of the This Week in WordPress Core Roundup news articles that the betas and subsequent releases of WordPress have been pushed back by, I think, a week. So, but the beta one for, the beta is going to be right around the corner here for WordPress 4.0. But there's going to be some new embed providers coming in the new version. So TED Talks, Mixcloud, collegehumor.com, Issue, ISSUU, Poll Daddy short URL format, and YouTube playlist URLs, and Animoto are added to the whitelist of providers into WordPress Core. So what OEmbed basically is, it's one of my favorite features now that I've gotten used to using it, is you just take the URL of a whitelisted provider, you take that URL, put it in your copy and paste it into your post, and then the content shows up automatically as if you were using the embed code, which is really neat because now you don't have to rely on specific embed codes, and there's a lot less code involved in the post itself. And in fact, I think it was in WordPress 3.9, there is support added so that you can actually see. I think you can actually see or preview. No, I take that back. What I'm thinking about is I know a lot of people complain that when you would put the embed code into the text editor and you switch to the visual editor, things would get all messed up and the code would be removed, sort of screwing up the whole embed. But by just using a URL, now you don't have to worry about that happening, and it will automatically show the embedded content as you see it on the front end. So that's pretty much what OEmbed is. So it's pretty nice to see that a lot more providers are being added to the whitelist. And if you look through there's actually a process of getting added to the whitelist. It's not as easy as you think. There's a couple of steps. They have to be involved. It's not just anybody. You have to be around for a while, and you have to have at least some reach, be somewhat popular, have a lot of users in order for it to make sense. But just really cool to see more OEmbed providers in the core of WordPress. And in fact, if there's a provider on the list that's not supported by core itself, there are a lot of plugins out there, a lot of them with just one line, that add support for a provider. So there's actually a lot more other providers out there you can add via plugins if the one that you want to use is not in core. So just really cool, just more more of those coming in WordPress 4.0. And that's one of the reasons why I really enjoy using the visual editor. You know, for the longest time, I've been stuck on using just the text or HTML editor in WordPress because I had control over everything, no code. I didn't have to worry about code being taken away, escaped, or being ruined. But now with the visual editor and OEmbeds and just putting in URLs and, you know, between the style editor CSS so that it visually looks like what it's going to look like on the front end, but right there in the editor. The visual editor for me right now is my primary way of creating content in WordPress, and it's just I really like it. It's not as bad as it used to be.
No, it's for sure. I've used it myself. It's very nice in seeing exactly what the result of a particular content piece will be before I make deadly changes to it and go live with it. So I concur on that. It's a wonderful process, and I look forward to all of these new enhancements as far as the OEmbed within 4.0. That's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. So let's bring on our special guest here. That's going to wrap it up for the. Well, actually, near the end of the show, we'll talk about a couple events that are coming up, some dates that have been announced, but that'll be near the end of the show. But my guest, Peter Bewey, located in Sydney, Australia, where it's 5 a.m. in the morning right now, produces the Joomla Beat podcast, a weekly podcast produced as a resource for the Joomla community, and operates his own web development agency, PB Web Dev. And Peter, thanks a lot for being on the WordPress Weekly show.
It's a pleasure being here, and finally we managed to organize a time to get on and do this.
Well, 3 p.m. is right in my wheelhouse, and 5 a.m. no way. You know, I'm not getting up for anyone at 5 a.m. But apparently, with your business and your work and being a remote worker and time zones, 5 a.m. apparently is when you can sort of talk to people in other parts of the world at reasonable times.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Europe is still, I think, late in the evening, and U.S. is in the afternoon, so it's just something you have to do.
So fantastic. One of the reasons why I brought you on the show here is, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but I look at you, and I'm like, you know, he's doing a lot of the same things in the Joomla community that I'm doing here in the WordPress community, so... You know, I have WP Tavern, and I write about what's going on in the ecosystem and cool plugins and themes I'm finding and just general news and trends of the whole WordPress landscape. And I do this podcast, WordPress Weekly, every week as a resource to people just talking about things that are going on. And with the Joomla Beat, you're sort of doing the same thing. So tell us what you're doing with Joomla Beat and what's that all about.
Yeah, I might have copied you. When I first started it, I was looking for other podcasts out there in the community, and in the Joomla space there wasn't too many that were continuously going. So I had a look over at WordPress, and yours was one of the ones that was going strong. The website was nice and clean, and I thought, great, this is probably a good platform that I could actually mimic and borrow ideas from. Which is what I've always done from different CMSs and different platforms. I've always looked outwards and borrowed ideas from other areas and brought them in. Yeah. But with the Joomla Beat podcast, I just started because I saw a big hole or a gap in the community where no one else is really podcasting and trying to deliver a message via this medium. So I've been gathering resources, finding out what's happening in the community and interviewing the people in the community, which I think is absolutely fantastic, and sharing their stories because we're all spread around the world and we don't know each other personally. So telling those personal stories and getting some inspiration from each other, I think, is a great way of learning and connecting.
And for those who want to listen or subscribe or find out more information, it's Joomla, B-E-A, no, dot A-T. There you go, Joomla Beat, yeah. So dot A-T. But I'll have a link to it in the show notes. And, yeah, you're doing a great job over there. I listened to a few episodes this week. And, you know, I'm it's great that you've picked up on this as weekly sort of resource for what's going on in that particular community, because that's primarily why I started WordPress Weekly, is that there was a podcast that was sort of talking about things at the time, but it sort of went down the wayside. There wasn't too many people at the time doing podcasts about WordPress, and I figured, you know, I would like to start a WordPress podcast to talk about more about the news. Let's go in depth. Let's just not spend 5 minutes on this topic. Things need to be talked more about in depth, and let's get some more opinions, and let's see if I can't turn this platform into a voice for other people that may not have one. And, you know, and the more popular that the podcast gets, the louder their voices can be. And just trying to be open to share everyone's opinions and perspectives on things. And I think so far I've done a pretty good job on that. But you're doing equally as good as of a job over there.
And yeah, to me, this episode, by the way, is when Captain Kirk had to fight himself in Star Trek in the alternate universe.
Yeah. So if you and the interesting thing is, and Marcus here could tell you, because he does a the WPR.fm, which is a site dedicated to publishing all the different WordPress podcasts that are available. Within the past 2 years, there's been an explosion of podcasts centered around WordPress. Everything from coaching to business to content publications and coaching to just news roundups. It's been, I don't know, Marcus, there's at least over a dozen now.
Two dozen, actually. Two more came out this month, two more new WordPress podcasts.
Wow.
And so it's now up to 24 total.
24 WordPress-based
podcasts, yeah.
Right.
Just talking about WordPress, whether that be development, stuff like WP Dev Table or Apply Filters talks more about the development end. You get people like the WordPress chick, Kim Doyle. She's more into kind of Genesis and more of the business building end, as is Matt Medeiros, who runs Matt Report. So there's tons and tons of different podcasts now. And I'm sure it's like, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have gotten inspiration from what Jeff did and what from others have done. And heck, Jeff, maybe people heard you and just said, hey, that guy can do it. I'm in.
Or that guy sucks. I could do that better than he does.
That's right.
You know, who knows? But so you're filling a void with the Joomla Beat podcast. What's the response been like? Are you getting a lot of really great positive feedback? And what about from those that are tight to the project? Have they been really sort of supportive of what you're doing with the Joomla Beat podcast?
Yeah, the feedback's been fantastic, and that's what's really driving me to keep going. All the feedback that people give me has always been positive, and without it, I don't think I'll actually keep the podcast going, because it's a huge amount of time in regards to production, recording, setting up the content, setting up the interviews. I think one episode might take me close to 6 to 9 hours to do.
Oh, man.
Which is, yeah, I don't do it live like you guys. You seem a lot more refined, I guess, in your process.
It's kind of funny because 6 to 9 hours, that's how long it took me to mess around with Joomla the other day on something that should have taken 20 minutes.
Oh, boy.
All right, we'll get into that in a little bit. All right, we'll save that for a little bit. But the feedback from the actual Joomla community itself, like the people in the production leadership team and the community leadership team and OSM, that's been really positive as well. And in fact, I think it would have been the podcast that helped actually get me into one of the leadership positions earlier this year, actually. So I'm a part of the community leadership team now, which is absolutely amazing.
That's great.
Congratulations. Yes, that really fits the role of everything you're doing with the Joomla Beat podcast, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a really interesting role. It's more early morning meetings, but dealing with the different aspects of the community, which I never really had to deal with before. And it's been an interesting process and a bit of an eye-opener as well, because I had no idea what else was actually involved in the community to organize, which purely just volunteers from around the world.
Yeah, can you break down the hierarchy of how Joomla works as far as the centralized hub versus the community and the interaction in between, and just so we can get a sense of from our perspective?
Well, it's really interesting comparing WordPress, Drupal, and the Joomla communities, because on WordPress and Drupal, they have the Acquias and that automatics, which kind of stand off on the side. But in the Joomla community, we have Open Source Matters, or OSM, and that is the legal and corporate entity that looks after all the trademark aspects, the legal aspects, and just those little bits and pieces of Joomla itself. So they protect the trademark from being misused, for example. And then there's the production leadership team, which sits off onto the side of that, which looks after the code production, the roadmap, and the direction where the project's going, and new projects and new ideas, such as the Joomla framework or anything else that those crazy guys come up with. And then on the other side, there's the community leadership team, which I'm a part of, and they look after the community aspects, the sites, the resources, learning guides, and a lot of the extra projects that get thrown into the community to try and drive up more interest, or manage the user groups, for example, or are part of the marketing working groups, which spread the word of Joomla in general. So that's kind of the rundown of the hierarchy.
And I know at OSM, there's I think every year, I learned this from your podcast, they hire the community nominates, and I think the community votes on a president for OSM, and the president, it seems to me, takes on that leadership role in terms of being the liaison, trying to communicate with all the different user groups for Joomla, and while also trying to project a specific mission they have within a year's time frame.
Yeah, that's kind of right, but it's constantly changing the way that we structure, organize, and talk to each other, and I think there are some difficulties in that not everyone knows what's going on within the different silos or the different groups that are managing different aspects of the project, which is fine, because not everyone needs to know what every last single line of code that's going in, or a different side project. Not everyone needs to know every single aspect. But it was interesting, I was speaking to Matt Mullenweg the other week, when he came to Australia, which was actually pretty cool.
Well, yeah, part of his tour, he was in Sydney.
Yeah, and I was just listening in on the conversations about how they organize themselves, and how top-down decisions seem to be a lot cleaner and easier when there is someone like Matt in Automatic saying, hey, we should do it this way, this is great. As opposed to the Joomla community, which we sit around, I guess, and because we're all volunteers, there's no real like top-down hierarchy. We sort of discuss it a lot more and debate various topics, such as the GPL licensing and the LGPL licensing for the Joomla framework, which you might have heard of if you were watching that Google Plus Hangout that I did earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. And just out of curiosity, looking that up, it looks like the Joomla framework is different from the Joomla project itself. Is it two separate entities, do you know?
Yeah, they're completely different. The framework is more so for the hardcore developers that use Composer and like to use other packages that are out there to build applications itself. So those guys will be using the Joomla framework. They might be pulling in Bower. Can't think of anything else, but some sort of library that's out there and putting it all together to build an application. So, like for example, it's very similar to Symfony. So the Drupal guys could pull in a Joomla package, the framework, and maybe the new issue tracker, and combine it with Drupal and build some sort of crazy application. No, that's the direction of the framework.
Okay, and so that's interesting in a way, because in the WordPress sphere, we have one package that's WordPress, and yet in Matt's State of the Word last year at WordCamp San Francisco, he showed this one slide where it showed sort of like Lego blocks, where for the first couple years everyone thought, okay, WordPress is just for blogs; it's only for blogging, and then the mentality moved towards, well, WordPress is a CMS now. And now we're moving towards, no, WordPress is a framework, an application or development framework. And now it seems to be that it's all together, all in one sort of package, instead of needing a WordPress Lite or a WordPress-specific framework package. They're building WordPress in such a way that it can handle all those use cases just in one platform.
And yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
I thought that was interesting because, you know, you've got Joomla, but then you've got the Joomla framework, and if you want to do all that cool stuff and build stuff, you know, maybe you should use the Joomla framework instead of maybe Joomla itself. Or I guess you could pair the two together.
Yeah, most people do pair them together, but when I was in Germany and speaking to a lot of the developers over there, they build sites, really cool, complex sites for high-end banks, for example, and financial institutes, purely just using the framework. So they their clients don't even see any sort of CMS aspects to it. It's just the framework itself pulling in money data, for example, and pushing it out elsewhere, doing some crazy things with it. So never a CMS out there at all.
And so for anyone listening, I think it was episode 50 of the Joomla Beat podcast, a fantastic episode talking about the Joomla ecosystem. It was a roundtable, and they talked about, your guests talked about the WordPress ecosystem, Drupal ecosystem, and Joomla. And there's a lot of things to talk about. And one of them, one of your guests was specific to say that they were concerned about the longevity of Joomla based on leadership, and they cited WordPress as, you know, doing, if there's one thing WordPress does exceptionally well, it's leadership, with Matt being the face of the project and the top-down structure of leadership, and Drupal sort of had his Dries, who is sort of like the top-down approach over there. But when you think of Joomla, I mean, when you think of WordPress, you think of Matt, when you think of Drupal, you think of Dries, but Joomla, there's no one individual, there's no face of the project, and, you know, it's like, you know, for me, it's like you're wondering, well, who's controlling the ship over there? Which direction is the Joomla ship going in? And who is the director? Who's the one telling it where to go? And I, as someone from the outside, I don't even know.
Yeah, and that might, some people think that's a problem. Other people within the community absolutely like that approach. So it's really hard to debate and change things. But at the moment, there is a lot of interest in changing that type of aspect within OSM, within the CLT community leadership team, the production leadership team. We had a summit in Germany, I think late last month, where we all sat down and talked about restructuring the Joomla in general and how we can better improve communication, better improve donations to the project, and also this top-down organization where we can actually lead the project and lead it towards a particular goal and direction, as opposed to debating it internally and moving around, I guess, without a clear leader.
Is it ripe for a hostile takeover situation? Can somebody step in and sort of save the day, or is it always going to be locked into this kind of cycle?
No, well, going back into Joomla's history, when it forked off from Mambo, that was put into its constitution, I guess. I think that's the right word. So that no one else could step in and take it over like that.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, you'd have Mambo all over again.
Yeah, exactly. So the community, when they split from Mambo, they did not want that to ever happen again. And Miro, who was the company originally started it all, probably approached it in a really bad way when they were trying to commercialize their aspects of Mambo. If they did it in a nicer way, I think it would be very different now, and we would actually have an identity, a corporate identity that actually helped lead the project as well, if they approached it a different way.
So does that leave cracks for, I mean, as far as the developers and stuff within Joomla, because of the fact that there's no central head that kind of governs it, is it kind of just the Wild West for developers to, you know, to do and develop as they please? Or is it really heavily community policed as far as what they can do and get away with?
You know, I have to say it was a little bit of the Wild West. If you want a particular into Joomla, then you write the code for it. And, right, you know, other people will have a look at it and will commit it into the code. Whereas now it's changing. So there's more of a roadmap. The use of Git, I think, has changed a lot of things. A lot of the development tools, such as the issue tracker, the patch tester, which was developed only quite recently, has changed a lot of that. So now people can contribute to the roadmap instead. So if there's a particular feature or function that they can see that's being aimed towards development in 6 months' time, they can contribute to that. So a lot of those aspects are changing as well, which is really, really cool.
And that's something that the WordPress community is doing as well. They haven't switched the internals to Git, but they do have a Git mirror for the core of WordPress for those who want to contribute via Git. So that's sort of a bridge between the two instead of switching over everything over to one system. And recently, a few versions ago, WordPress implemented this system now where instead of everybody contributing features and building using the core of WordPress, now we've gone to more of a features as plugins first model, so that if there's a specific feature that we want or functionality in WordPress, it starts off as a plugin, and then hopefully within a version or two, people work on it, it gets tested thoroughly, it opens the door for more users to just install the plugin and test it. And when it gets to a point that, you know, is core worthy, that's when it can be merged into the core of WordPress instead of everybody working on, you know, shoving all the features and trying to get everything done within a 3 month period of time. This sort of gives a lot of leeway towards, you know, this is a feature we'd like to have. Let's work on it as a plugin. And when it's ready, then we can merge it into core. And that seems to have taken a lot of stress off the developers and folks who want to contribute to the core of WordPress.
Yeah, we saw exactly the same issues as well. So the production leadership team, those guys, late last year in November, they were following a similar type of model, and the type of version numbers that we were going for, 3.2, 3.5, we used to see 3.5 as a stable release, and that's when you should be using version 3 of Joomla, for example. But that's changed as well to an on-rolling version and more semantic versioning, just like you guys in WordPress, so that the production leadership team isn't seeing a lot of stress with all these features being crammed into a particular version, such as 3.2, which has a huge amount of features that were crammed into it, because back then we saw 3.2 as a lock-in release. So if your feature doesn't make it into 3.2, then you won't see it make it into Joomla for a very long time, because once it goes 3.5, they tend to not put any new features in. But that's all changed now. So every new release, there'll be new features, new fixes, and taking this a very similar approach. So what WordPress is doing with the plugins, build it as a plugin first and then roll it in if it's worthy.
Of course, in the Joomla sphere, it's not plugins. It's probably component first.
It's interesting. A lot of the stuff actually goes into core. So it's stuff like security, bcrypt, the two-factor authentication, that actually all gets put into core. Those bits are plugins actually in the Joomla space. But yeah, they're all pushed into core.
And so speaking of Joomla, kind of give us a rundown of some of the cool features. I know I think it was 3.3 or 3.5 or something they just recently released. I was reading, it looks like Joomla has revision support, which WordPress has or has had for a little while now for content. What other kind of cool features that stick out to you has Joomla added within the past few versions?
You're putting me on the spot here. All right, so some of them that have really stuck out is, yeah, the versioning control is one thing that has stuck out for me in regards to an addition. Probably the more later ones is the microdata that is being pushed into core. There's still a lot of work being done on that to make it better. Some people think the initial implementation wasn't the best, but having that microdata in Joomla, because a lot of people think Joomla's SEO aspects are a little bit all over the place, and you know, if you don't know how to actually control that, it is. So all those SEO changes, the microdata, the improvements in canonical URLs and those aspects in the last few releases has been absolutely amazing. The slow removal of all the Moo tools JavaScript library stuff out of the CMS is going to be absolutely amazing. So it's moving all to a jQuery-based JavaScript libraries. So it's I guess that's more popular, and for front-end developers, you can find more cool toys in regards to what jQuery can do, and we won't have any conflicts with Moo tools anymore, which is going to be great. More front-end editing for the CMS. So the CMS has got more front-end editing for the modules, the front-end editing for the content in general as well. So we've seen a little bit more of that, and we're going to see more improvements of that as well, which is cool. And also, I think in the next release, coming up in, I can't remember the exact date, but they're going to start decoupling a lot of the core components that no one uses within the Joomla CMS.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to make it a lot lighter.
That's something WordPress has started to do very slowly. I know you were mentioning it's one is web links, and you know, a funny thing is that's sort of the same type of thing that WordPress has phased out. The ability to add the blog row or blog links, they started phasing that out a few versions ago.
Yeah, but can you still pull it in as an external plugin if you still want to use it?
Yes, yes. They've turned it into a plugin in case you want to use it again or turn it on.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the approach that the Joomla production leadership team are taking as well. All those extra stuff that people don't use, you can rip out. From me, my personal experience, I've used Joomla for, I think, since 2005, but I've almost never ever used the core CMS itself. I've always used a content construction kit of some sort on top of the CMS to extend its functionality.
And that may be the first time I've ever seen the... is that what the CCK acronym stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that may be the first time I've heard that and put two and two together. Yeah, I mean, WordPress has been phasing that out, the blog row, the links, to the point where, you know, for every new install, after they rip it out, you won't have it. You will need to install a plugin. But for those who already have it, you know, it's not touched. Or if it determines that you're not using it, it just sort of disables it. It's still there, but it's disabled. And there's been a lot of sort of conversation over the years with WordPress. A lot of people think it's, you know, bloated, and maybe there's, you know, it's time to start modularizing WordPress, start ripping things out, different features that apparently nobody is using, and turning them into plugins or components. And there's been a lot of debate on that, but the most argument against that is that, well, if you start ripping everything out of WordPress and start putting things into plugins, what if you end up making WordPress? You take everything away that makes WordPress what it is and why people use it. So there's a balance there that has to be taken into account.
Well, I think it should be more of an intuitive install as far as when, and this could go for any platform, is what do you want it to do? Do you want it to be, it's just a checklist. Do you need this to be mobile enabled? Do you need this to be responsive? Do you need this to be, you know, have a contact form on it? Do you want to put links to other sites on it? Just those kind of intuitive things. And then all those modules or whatever they are in Joomla, and as well as plugins in WordPress, get installed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about that before. We just come up with a checklist, and whatever the results are, boom, everything's created for you. Here's a use case setup of WordPress for you.
Yeah, the return of the wizard.
Ah, the lovely install wizards.
Now, speaking of installing, you said, Marcus, you said you installed Joomla the other day. How easy was it compared to, let's say, installing WordPress? Has it gotten better?
It has gotten a lot better, actually. And I was up and running, and I was kidding earlier in the show, but I was up and running in about 10 minutes. It was, you know, the learning curve was a little clunky because I haven't used it in about 4 years. But it seemed like it had a lot of better advancements, a lot easier to navigate around different content pieces and the things that were attached to them. It was fairly, you know, I think a typical WordPress person out there that's used to installing it could probably tackle it within 15 minutes.
Awesome. Right. That's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, it's really easy.
So now Joomla will have to say the famous 15-minute install.
Yeah, well, we could make it
10
if we
more than
some,
WordPress, but, you know.
If we did another OAuth thing, or an OEmbed, rather, for WordPress 4.0, maybe we can just embed our Joomla install right into our content. Who knows? But I found it really easy. It doesn't do some of the things that I'm used to. Like I was looking for a nice parallax slider to try and test out, or stuff that's, you know, kind of similar to like what Aesop Stories is, and it's just not there yet. And hopefully they'll take some inspiration on some of the stuff that's in the WordPress world and make some of that their own. I did find some really nice image styling tools that we don't have anything like that, where you just upload an image and it styles it and shadows it and all that kind of stuff on the fly.
Yeah, that was in Drupal, you said.
Yeah, I found the same kind of functionality going on for Joomla too. So it just must be some sort of a Java thing that they've never ported over to WordPress. So
I've actually never seen that.
Oh, I'm going to start my Joomla plugin show really soon.
Go ahead. Sounds like you found some really cool things there.
Yeah.
So I'll be the first one to say that, you know, I'm not a WordPress elitist. I'm not going to say use WordPress for everything, for every scenario, because it could do everything and be everything for everyone. That's simply not true. If Joomla does a lot of things you need and solves the problem out of the box, use Joomla. Same goes for Drupal. WordPress can be molded to do more than just blogging, and we're seeing a lot of that now. I know when I listened to your roundtable episode, the web developers you had on there said, yeah, we build Joomla sites, but we also do WordPress, but we usually just do WordPress for clients that need a simple blog. And I'm cringing thinking, oh, no. And that's a mentality and a reputation of WordPress that we've slowly been trying to cut away from, the fact that WordPress is not just about doing blogs anymore, but I mean very powerful and large e-commerce sites through different plugins and huge different media properties and sites are using WordPress for content management. And it's just, I start cringing every time I hear, we just use it for blogs. But I mean, use the best tool for the job, really.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
Who are the big guys using? I'm sorry. Who are the big guys using Joomla today? Like, who are the paramount showcase people that are in the world that use Joomla?
Really big websites. Now,
yeah,
I actually don't know off the top of my head some of the really big ones, but I know from our own experiences that here in local government, the High Court of Australia, for example, is one client that uses Joomla. A slightly older version, but yeah, they do use Joomla. In comparison to some of the showcase sites, for example, what you guys have, I can't really think of one off the top of my head.
Really?
I don't think a lot of the big sites out there in, like, say, the top 100 sites actually use Joomla. I know the Guggenheim uses Joomla. I'm just trying to think of some more examples, but no, nothing comes to my mind. It is before 6 a.m. here.
I'll tell you, Marcus, one of the things that they talked about was market share and things of that nature in the roundtable episode on Joomla Beat episode 50. And one of the gentlemen said, if you look at the top 10,000 websites, and I don't know if he meant by rankings of Alexa, there's not one Joomla site in those top 10,000. And that gives you an indication. So Joomla is, in fact, Joomla is being used on 3.1% of the web, giving it a 8.2% market share, according to W3Text, which is the website we use for determining usage and market share for WordPress. So it's not as much as WordPress, but it's second place, and it's a couple steps above Drupal. So, I mean, Joomla is in use out there. It just maybe not on the most popular sites on the web.
What's the market share for notepad sites?
For what?
Is that?
For using Notepad, straight HTML.
Oh, is there any? I don't know.
It's actually interesting how those crawlers out there find what platforms websites are using. You find with a lot of Joomla developers, they actually rip out all of the tags that say this is a Joomla site.
Yeah, that meta-generator.
Declaring stuff. Yeah, so they rip all that stuff out, and if those crawlers are actually looking for those or certain patterns, such as a slash administrator to get into a website, we lock all that down, so those crawlers won't be able to find out if it's a Joomla site if they're using those particular techniques.
Yeah, and
that's some of the stats.
That's a good point you made, because you know, over the years we've seen, as a typical security through obscurity, although you're not being that obscure, remove that site generator that says which version of WordPress you're using and that you're even using WordPress at all. So No, WordPress's numbers could be even higher than what's being reported. Joomla's or anybody else's numbers could be higher than what's being reported. You know, if it's just based on that metric.
Yeah, exactly. So it's hard to say.
But Joomla, I mean, if you look at Drupal, I mean, from an outside perspective, I don't use Drupal. I just kind of keep an eye on it. And Drupal seems to be, you know, at the cutting edge of development techniques, technologies with integrating with Symfony and things of that nature, object-oriented programming. They seem to be making inroads into education and the enterprise type of clients. And WordPress seems to be, you know, doing all of the really content-heavy type sites, a lot of e-commerce sites, media properties, things of that nature. What a lot of use cases do you see, you know, with Joomla? Is Joomla sort of in the middle? How do we boost up Joomla's market share to maybe take a bite out of each of those use cases, those markets?
I think it's both of the platforms, WordPress and Drupal, have marketed themselves a lot better at either edge of the people that are using CMSs in general. So Drupal have done a fantastic job of going for those high-end enterprise people where they fork out huge amounts of money, and in doing so allows them to hire amazing talent. So they can hire the developers that are worth 100 to 150K a year and pay them to develop Drupal projects. And hence the Drupal project has so many awesome, amazing, high-end developers. And that's probably the same with the WordPress space as well, where, you know, it's the New York Times, Huffington Post, they run on WordPress. So, you know, amazing big budget companies that have a lot of money that can hire those awesome developers as well. But unfortunately, Joomla is kind of like the middle ground where, you know, an entry-level person that's a small business can jump into this space, start building really cool websites, but then build really complex websites but don't need to know too much code. So you can start building applications and really complex stuff, but you don't need to dive into the actual code itself. And that's where a lot of these smaller providers at the moment are that's their space that they're in, and they don't make as much money as the Drupal companies or the WordPress companies. So I guess it's a little bit harder to get more talent in that respect because it's not as attractive because the price tag isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see a lot of changes happening, and a lot of the guys in Europe and the US are using it for framework development, for example, and that just completely changes things.
So you look at WordPress, and Automattic is not, they're often touted as the creators or founders of WordPress, which they're not. Matt Mulloway and Mike Little created the WordPress project, and Matt founded a company called Automattic, which does a hosted version of WordPress called WordPress.com. And through Automattic, they've been able to create this business, a hosted version of WordPress, you know, in a nutshell. And they generate money and that's their revenue. They have all these different revenue streams through services. And Automattic also has funding. And there's a lot of development time and contributions and resources from that whole relationship of, you know, Automattic has that money funneled into the WordPress.org open source project. And I see on the Drupal side of things, Acquia sort of has the same type of relationship going on where they're making money. And they have a lot of money. They're getting venture capital, and they're investing that time into clients in the Drupal project itself. So they're able to pay developers and some of those high-end people to work on the project itself. But if you look at Joomla, there is no commercial entity funneling and creating that cash to maybe hire developers or to fund all these different things to sort of rise the tide of Joomla itself. So do you see... I mean, if we look at Joomla, like you said, just about everyone in the whole Joomla project community is all volunteer-based. There's no commercial entity sort of employing people to work on things full-time. Is that do you think that'll change in the future? I mean, how will open source matters, you know, where there need to be some sort of Joomla service, you know, that can somehow create the revenue stream to fund developments for the project?
Yeah, I think that's a big downside of the project. Me personally, from my point of view, like I said a little bit earlier, other people think that's the greater and better aspect of the project. But what I'm seeing now is a couple of really big Joomla players in the industry hire a lot of the really good talent, and because they have the money, they can contribute back all the code and help lead the project in particular ways as well. So we are seeing slight little subtle changes in that respect, and I hope it keeps on going down that path and these guys get a little bit bigger and bigger over the time. I know one of them's actually started to build this on-demand service for Joomla sites, so you can go to the I can't remember what it's called, but you go to the site, type in your details, and bang, you instantly have your own Joomla site up and running, just as WordPress.com. So, and that will generate a lot of revenue as well, and hopefully they grow even bigger so they can contribute back. And I guess it will be like a very similar Automattic or Acquia, but they don't have that kind of influence on the project itself.
And there's one thing that Joomla has done very well, and I've admired from the get-go, is that maybe because of all that, and there's no money involved or corporate entities and things of that nature, everyone over there is like, you know, centered around one purpose, Joomla, and making Joomla excel and just be an awesome piece of software, and everyone seems to work together, and there's a real cool community spirit over there with Joomla. And if you take a look at the Joomla website, you can see through Joomla Connect, there's Joomla user groups, there's Joomla Magazine. The community, the project, the website does a great job on informing people of what's going on, the various facets that make up the whole Joomla community and project. And in, as far as WordPress is concerned, that's something we've lacked within the past few years. We're starting to get better at it now by creating these sort of sites like make.ui or make.core, you know, where these groups of people that like to concentrate or have a favorite area of WordPress they can work on have these different areas where they can collaborate and get together and work on that. But there's still a lot of things that I think the WordPress website can do in terms of getting groups together. Because everything is so large and the popularity of the website and the code bases, things move a little slower than maybe everybody would like. But you know, that's one thing I really admire about Joomla is the community, the spirit, and just how everyone, you know, everything's structured to keep everyone informed as to all the different things that are going on.
Yeah, everyone's really passionate. Whether it's a good thing or not, everyone is extremely passionate about the CMS and what they do for the project. So it's a wonderful thing.
So just overall, what's the vibe that you feel from the Joomla community? I mean, now that you're on the community team, you obviously interact with the community, I'd probably guess, on a daily basis through the podcast and your interactions with the community. What's the sort of vibe you get?
Like the feedback I get, it's always been positive. But in interacting with the broader community overseas, people, it's very split still. But some people really want the change in the structure, in the leadership, in the communication, in how we run the project, so that there will be more of a future for the project in general. They do want paid people working on the project, for example. Not necessarily a paid leader or paid developers, but maybe paid support staff within the organization to help out with aspects such as travel, bookings, meeting minutes, all those little things that are just really time-consuming. So maybe some paid people will be involved in the project that way, or project managers in general, someone just cracking the whip to make sure code is done or different aspects are, you know, being fulfilled and being done for the project. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are changing. I keep saying that, but one of the really cool things, which was an initiative by OSM and the CLT, was to do a new marketing campaign. So they've gone out, they haven't done officialized this yet, but they've put out an RFP to get a marketing company to come in, an external marketing company, and do a full audit of the project and find out the best way to position the project, where it's positioned now. It's a basic SWOT analysis, I guess, and push the project forward in terms of marketing that way. So overall, a very good positive vibe, but some people still want some a little bit more change to make things better. and continue the future of the project.
No, I listening to that episode, that roundtable episode, there's a lot of things that we complain about and that we could do better here in the WordPress community and things of that nature. But with the leadership and benevolent dictator that we have in Matt Mulloway, I think we've got it pretty good. And you know, the thing is about, you know, when you talk about future and funding types of community outreach programs and things of that nature, we're very lucky in that Matt Mulloway has created and founded the nonprofit WordPress Foundation, which owns and operates the WordPress trademark and other facets of the WordPress project, and he put the foundation together, and it's used to fund WordCamps, events that are, you know, like you have Joomla Worlds, we have WordCamps all across the world. It seems like every weekend there's now multiple WordCamps happening of these conferences dealing with just WordPress, and the foundation actually funnels money to support those through sponsorships and things of that nature. And there's also community outreach programs and things of that nature. All thanks to the foundation, but obviously, you know, at the end of the day, it's money, and you could do a lot of things and get a lot of contributions and push things forward when you have money.
That helps. It really does help. But you're going?
No.
Yeah. Well, I'll add to this. You know, you guys remember the day that Windows was available on a Mac? Like you could actually bootstrap it and boot to a Mac. Boot to Windows. I look at things like the Genesis theme framework, and I'm thinking, why couldn't we port Joomla into just a theme framework, and then everybody who loves Joomla can use the magic of Joomla plus all the functionality of WordPress? Why can't we make that?
Well, you know, I know Joomla because Joomla actually, there's a plugins out there, whether I think it's through iFrames or whatever else, that where you can actually use, you know, if you want a blog page on Joomla, you set up a page and it's just WordPress but in an iframe pretty much in Joomla.
It's not an iframe, but they are actually integrated in as a component. So it's crazy. I don't know what they're trying to do there, but it's actually Joomla working at WordPress working as a component inside of Joomla. So that way you can use the Joomla templating system, the MVC style of coding, and extend WordPress on top of that. So it's crazy voodoo magic. That's all I can say. It's absolutely insane what those guys did. They also did it with Drupal.
Yeah, that leads me to believe if you and Drupal can do it, as far as, you know, you speaking collectively for the entire Joomla community, which I'm sure you're proud to do. it seems like it could happen. I mean, it seems like, you know, two points of the triangle are already drawn. We just need to connect it with WordPress. What's our problem? Why are we embracing you? I don't know.
I think it's really important to know all of your tools, to know what's out there. So what we were speaking about before in regards to the roundtable topic, saying, oh, you know, we just use WordPress to build blogs and then we use Joomla to use, build other things. I think it's really important to actually know your tools so that when you're scoping a project for a client or a customer, that you know how much time it's going to take you in regards to building that project. And I think that's why some of those Joomla guys move away from WordPress to build something in Joomla, because they know the tool better in regards to building a slightly more complex or a lot more complex website. So the amount of hours and the time that they're investing in regards to building a site for a client might be a lot less in Joomla because they know the tool so well. And that might be a benefit for you guys too. Like if you took some time and understood how the Joomla CMS worked in general, so you'd have another tool so you can deliver it to your customers and build an even more awesome project for less time and maybe more money.
Yeah, I mean, based on market data that I've seen, WordPress developers and the cost per project, you know, the WordPress developers are just a dime a dozen. And the cost of a WordPress project is a lot lower than, let's say, a Drupal project where Drupal developers are hard to find, and the cost of the project is usually, you know, enormous. Just based on the fact that, you know, less developers, and who knows, I think Drupal probably is being used for more complex type of sites. And that's and then, of course, you got Joomla that's sort of in the middle where, yeah, you have quite a few developers out there with Joomla, and Joomla is a content management system and can do a lot of cool things. So the price probably per project is probably within the middle between Drupal and WordPress. But, but on that note, based on what you've seen, Pete, what would you estimate or guesstimate the economy, the Joomla ecosystem, the economy, the people? I mean, do you see a ton of, commercial theme shops, commercial plugins? Do you see a lot of businesses around Joomla?
Yeah, there's a lot more theme shops or plugin shops or in the Joomla space, template and extension shops, I think, compared to WordPress, purely because there's the model around that is people in building Joomla websites are more open to paying for what they get. I think that's changing in the WordPress community as well. I've seen more and more people just going, if it's good, pay for it. It helps the developers. It supports the community. It's worth paying for. But that's always been there in the Joomla space. So people have been making a lot of money out of extension and template development in the Joomla space since day one. I know a company in Thailand make, I think, I can't say the number, but quite a lot of money per month in selling their extensions and templates. And they sell in US dollars as well. So the conversion rate for them is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, there's over 500 products in ThemeForest, which we are all familiar with in the WordPress community. Is ThemeForest a prominent thing within Joomla? Because it does seem like they have a lot of items there for Joomla.
Yeah, there is. ThemeForest is great for the Joomla space as well, but it's primarily WordPress dominant. You find a lot of the extension developers rely on the Joomla extension directory for their traffic. Mm-hmm. And they're usually building their own e-commerce platforms and websites to power that. So there's some really good subscription extensions and release software extensions that combine together to deliver a whole package of extension delivery, template delivery sites that you can pay and subscribe for. And it's automatically integrated with your website. So if your subscription expires, then you can't get the update, so you go to the website, update your subscription, go back to your website, and do your updates. It's really cool. Hmm. It's really nice.
No, that's a very interesting dynamic. I knew it was like this before, but are you still able to list your Joomla extensions, components, the equivalent of plugins, the WordPress, commercial ones on the JED, the repository that Joomla has, so you can search between free and commercial ones?
Yeah, you can.
See, that's a huge different dynamic than WordPress, because we have all these plugins on WordPress, but every single one of them is free because that's the way Matt Mullery wants to keep it. Our themes directory has nothing but free theme, free of charge themes, and the plugins are all free. And the plugins actually are you have to do like upselling and notify people, hey, maybe you should check out the pro version of this plugin because it has these features, so you have to upsell within the free plugin. But and there's been a lot of debate about that over the years. Why not just allow both commercial and free plugins to be listed in the same directory? And Matt just says he just doesn't want that.
Yeah, the support logistics would be a nightmare, it seems like. Is that the case within that directory of commercial plus free add-ons within Joomla?
I don't think so.
No?
I haven't seen it being a nightmare in terms of support. All the support does go off to the third-party developers' websites. Okay. And people are usually paying for the support itself.
Someone wants to buy it, is it merely just a directory, and then if you want to purchase that particular thing, then you go off to the developer's merchant thing? Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's just a listing. It's just an entry.
Mm. There was talk one day of actually integrating a online payment system within the extension directory itself. So the developers would submit their extensions and the Joomla project would take a cut off the top, just like Envato does with ThemeForest. But I don't know if the community would react that well with that. But I don't know. I think it's a great thing because it actually helps generate money and revenue for the project if they went down that path.
Yeah, I mean, that's funny you're talking about that. I'm like, yeah, boy, that sounds great. That'd be one way to found a nonprofit foundation, you know, whether that be a branch of OSM or something else, to fund different projects to further the whole open source project of Joomla itself. But you're right. I wonder, I mean, obviously that cut would be for the benefit of Joomla as a whole, or that I would imagine that would be the goal. So I don't understand why there would be a lot of, you know, pushback, but then you never know until after you do it.
Who controls the money? I mean, there's where the politics in it start coming into play. You've got people that haven't been involved in the platform for, you know, since its inception, and then you've got others on the sidelines who are always critical. It happens with every single computer platform, phone platform, you name it. Anytime there's money involved, the critics come out.
Yeah. So suddenly the project's getting more money. How is that money being spent? Who's going to get that money? Because it goes from, it's just a small shaving off the top, but it adds up to a huge amount of money. That extension directory gets over 10 million uniques a month. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
If you have an extension, you have to be on that directory. It's a gold mine of traffic.
Wow, that's incredible statistics there. And then everybody would stop contributing to Joomla, and everybody would be fighting about where they want the money to be spent next. You know, and that's one thing. You know, we talked about this earlier. In WordPress, we have like the core team of developers that collaborate together, and then you get to see from the outside. You know, there's like an outer ring of people who visit the meetings, and they keep abreast of what's going on changes on track. And you've got some of the, sort of the outer community that's just keeping track on what they're doing. And we used to have these, you know, a couple of years ago, we used to have, you know, the mailing list, the hackers mailing list, and you used to see bike shed arguments every week, and there's a lot more discussing and a lot less, you know, patching code into WordPress. And I look at something like Drupal with Acquia and all these different board members and trustees, and then I look at OSM and they have a president and these user groups, and it's like I've always had this notion that you introduce a lot more people in all these groups, and boy, you're really introducing, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to get things done versus just having maybe one person at the top say, okay, this is where we're going to do it, so let's do it. And, you know, he or she can deal with the aftermath of what happens after that. But, you know, so far, Joomla has been able to operate and do things pretty successfully with the system they have now.
It's all thanks to the community. That's what drives, and it's those lovely, passionate people that like to debate a lot of topics. and spend and seem to not waste time. That's way too harsh. But they debate a particular topic to the nth degree that you know, the final decision is a good one that pleases everyone. I hope. I don't know if the license change was one change that pleased everyone, but it was debated in a very long and lengthy way.
Which, at the very least, at least that debate was allowed and allowed to occur, and that was, you know, even promoted or encouraged. You know, at least that far, so that there's none of this shutting discussion out or you know, you know, taking opinions and not even acknowledging them. At least everybody gets to have their say, you know, regardless of the outcome.
Yeah, I think that's actually changed in the last 4 years. I think there was, I only got into the actual community itself around 2008. And I believe before then, a lot of decisions were made behind closed doors.
Oh, yeah.
And I think some people's experience when they came to the Joomla community back then would have been very different to how it is right now. So if you went into the community back in 2007, 2008-ish, you would have seen a lot of fighting, a lot of arguments, strange decisions being made here and there. But thankfully, other leaders stepped in, and the culture has changed over the years for the better.
Yeah, I follow Amy Steven on Twitter, who's an open source advocate, and she usually publishes things that are going on in the Joomla community. I think I saw a few links and read some discussions, and wow, you know, it's like, oh boy, this isn't good if people are going behind the scenes and everyone says he said, she said, and, you know, you get nowhere with that. So I'm glad to see that that's sort of turned around in the culture of just openness and open discussion and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. You know, the more transparent, open I think you can be, well, you know, to an extent, the better, you know. But like you said earlier, you know, you don't need to have everything, every minute detail publicized.
Yeah. One of the interesting things that changed, I think, in 2011 or 2012 was leadership summits. So before then, none of the leadership team or anyone contributing to the project had actually met each other. So these you know, guys at the very top would always communicate via Skype or email. Email was even more common then. And email was up for interpretation. The how you read the words and how you convey yourself over an email is completely different to how you actually would talk to someone in real life. And a lot of the leadership summits ever since has changed a lot of that culture, where you can actually sit down with someone, have a beer, and discuss exactly what you meant in that email that you were talking about 6 months ago, when I interpret it in a really bad and nasty way and very offensive and personal. But, you know, when you sit down and have a beer, oh, so what did you mean by that? No, I didn't mean that. It was actually a really friendly thing. I was writing it at 2 a.m. Probably a little bit too harsh, but yeah, it completely changes communication when you can actually meet someone. And every Joomla World conference has changed. What was that?
Beer does that.
Yeah, beer is that conduit. It's so funny. No matter what the technology, it's like, all right, get some people together that have never talked, give them a couple beers, and watch what happens.
Chaos. No, good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff.
So we've gone way past the hour mark here. So I want to. So Peter, I just want to ask you one thing here before we let you go. Just your thoughts on Joomla now, and just kind of give us your prediction for maybe the next year or two where you see Joomla heading.
I am absolutely excited. I was saying that earlier this year as well with the project, and in regards to the direction that's heading, the leadership changes, the roadmap. The production changes as well. A lot of cool things that I've always wanted within the project, such as core accessibility, which is one of them, is more likely to happen. I don't think we'll see that till next year, but we're going to see more of those things happen, more features being plugged in, new development and development standards being applied as well, which is going to be really cool. So I'm excited for the project, and I see a really positive future for it.
Awesome, and I'm going to make sure to follow well, I already follow you on Twitter, but I'm going to follow a couple other Joomla sources so I can keep tabs on, because every now and then Joomla has something I said, WordPress should have that. Why do they have that? You know, so there's a couple of cool things you guys have. Hopefully we can bring you on the show here within the next few months, and you can be our Joomla guy. Because, you know, Joomla used to be that – at one time, Joomla used to be that thing that I thought was, like, the best thing since sliced bread. I worked with it. I mean, I remember that the RHUK Solar Flare 2 theme was a default theme that I haven't had a layout that I've never seen anywhere in any CMS, which is really cool. But I have a pretty cool history. Joomla is really how I got involved with this whole content management scene, so I have a special place in my heart for it, and I was around during those times of the Mambo split, which is, wow, you know, that was something to witness. So with all that said, this is a fantastic interview. Pete, go ahead and give out your information in terms of Twitter and where we can listen to the Joomla Beat podcast.
Well, you can follow me directly on Twitter at AstroBoySoup. It's a strange name, but AstroBoySoup. And you can get to the podcast at JoomlaBE.AT. So Joomla Beat, but with a dot between the BE and the AT.
And I know you publish your shows on a weekly basis. Which day do you usually publish a show on?
It is supposed to go out on a Wednesday night or Wednesday morning, I think, for you guys. Yep. It's just a little late this week.
Awesome. So just subscribe to iTunes and you can get it whenever it's available to make things easier.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I should do a live recording like you guys. It's just so much easier.
Oh, it is so much easier, but And so far, we haven't had too many people complain about our ums, ahs, ahs, and all that other stuff. But, boy, I tell you, just all that time I'm saving, not editing all those out, it's a lifesaver. Yeah. But, Peter, all the best to you. Thanks a lot for coming on and give us sort of the inside scoop on at least your perspective on what's going on in the Joomla community. It's fascinating that, you know, Drupal, WordPress, Joomla, we're all leading the way. We all have great open source values at the core of the project. And nice to see us all sort of, you know, through the GPL making headway and just showing, you know, the types of possibilities that are seemingly endless. And it's all, you know, freely available, free and open source software. So thanks a lot for your contribution here on the show.
Thanks for having me. And I'll have you guys on the Joomla Beat podcast soon, too.
Great. Fantastic. I'd love to be on one of those roundtable episodes so I could say, no, it's not used for blogging.
And I'll tell you, I've listened to the show. I've listened to the Joomla Beat podcast for a while. And it's, to me, my analogy is it's kind of like mariachi music. You know, I don't always understand everything in it, but I really appreciate the beat and the composition for sure.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Have a good day there in Sydney, Australia, where it's about 6:17 a.m., so we'll be able to go out and see the sun. Go back to bed. So before we wrap it up here, I wanted to quickly give you some news about some events. WordCamp Europe Sofia tickets have gone on sale. They're about €30 each, so if you go to the 2014 WordCamp Europe website, you'll find out information. That's supposed to be a great event. I know a lot of people are looking forward to that. Dates have been announced for Pressnomics 3, which will be on January 22nd through the 24th on 2015 in Tempe, Arizona, right outside Phoenix. And for those who don't know, Pressnomics is the it's like a WordCamp, but it's all about the business of WordPress and the economy of WordPress. Mm-hmm. From everybody I've talked to that's attended that event, they said it was worth every penny. So I can't wait to go there and just be a fly on the wall and listen to everybody talk about future products, pricing, and business of WordPress. It's an event I've been wanting to go to for a few years now, and this will be my first one. So
you're going, huh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right,
maybe I'll have to go.
Yeah, I mean, if you're even thinking about getting, if you have a business of WordPress, thinking about getting involved, or just want to, you know, bump elbows with people who have already shown success in the WordPress space, this is the conference to go to. And there's only 250 tickets available, and they go on sale August 6th at 10 a.m., and it's a first-come, first-served basis. So you better put a reminder on your calendar because they're going to sell out quick. They'll sell out within the hour, I bet, within 10 minutes maybe. I don't know. That's about how popular it is. And last but not least, WordCamp Toronto 2014 is seeking speakers, and this year they're going to have a focus on accessibility, which is really neat considering you know, it's one of those things that isn't built into projects and WordPress themes out of the gate, as we discussed last week. So they're currently looking for speakers. Even if you don't have anything to talk about on accessibility, there's a wide range of topics already available. You could, you know, they're going to have you know, your typical WordCamp sessions there. So check that out. And WordCamp Toronto is going to take place on November 15th through the 16th this year. So they're currently looking for speakers, and keep an eye out to see when tickets go on sale for that event. And with that, I'm going to hand it over to Marcus, and he's going to give us the some plug-in picks of the week, and then we can get out and enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, I've got some really nice ones here. Verify Ownership is one of those lazy plugins that I like to talk about. It allows you to claim site ownership in your meta tag verifications for Google, Yahoo, Bing, Alexa, and Pinterest, all with one single plugin. So it's like getting six plugins in one to verify all your site ownerships for those sites. Next one we've got, On the Road. It's a really cool plugin that allows you, let's say you're taking a vacation this summer, or you're going to go hiking, or even just documenting maybe a pub crawl in your local city or something like that. You can geolocalize your posts, group them together into a journey, and then add a ton of customized maps that shows kind of the line from pin to pin to pin as to where you've been. So I thought that was a really nice one. Really good for if you want to document your vacation or your travels or things like that. Really nice one. And then finally, this is one that I'd like to encourage people to get involved in as well. The plugin is simply titled Meetup. and it allows you to create one or several local meetup events, talk about how many seats are available, speaker lists, all that. It just completely integrates in with Meetup. So there's more information about it in the show notes. It's created by Tariq Hassan, and he's got some stuff in GitHub about it. But I've tried the beta, and the beta works pretty nice. So it's a good first step as far as a Meetup plugin. And I know one of my local Meetup groups, Orange County WordPress Meetup Group, uses Meetup and a number of others as well. So you use Meetup, you might want to check that one out.
So I'd like for criminals to use that plugin on the road so we could find out where they've been, make things easier to track them down. That'd be nice.
Ooh, wow. An offender.
Oh, no, you know, that would be cool. You know, the FBI, oh, let's see. Well, they already do that already with, you know, geolocation of tweets and messages and all that stuff, cell phones. But, I mean, if criminals could just have, like, a WordPress blog and this plug-in, they say, well, I went here, here, and here today, you know, that'd make their job a lot easier.
Document your crime spree.
That's right. And then, you know, you could show up in the newspaper with a funny headline and everyone could just slap their, you know, give everyone a face palm because they can't believe someone did that.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess you're right. This could be used for a lot more than just traveling. It could be used for even documenting historical events or reporting or even maybe your bike, you know, document your bike travel, you know, your bike riding, how far you went, where you went, stuff like that, fishing, I don't know. You could use it for anything. So it's really nice for that.
So the one thing I'm thinking about right now that I think would be cool is maybe have on the road and the way it's displayed, integrate that into your ASOP story engine, the theme.
You're right. It could happen.
And like combine that. That would be pretty neat. Mm-hmm. And you could scroll down and you could travel to the next place and there you see content and pictures of that place. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, maybe even click on the pin and then that goes to that part of the story.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great use case for that. So that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. Sorry we went way long there, but I was enamored with the conversation I was having with Peter about Joomla. Joomla will always have a special place in my heart. That's where I really got into the whole CMS scene and tinkering with that. And, you know, it was the first time I got exposed to widgets and modules and being able to really have that control as a user of just, you know, without having to know code of controlling where things show up. And hopefully, it's just nice to see the similarities and differences between Drupal, Joomla, and WordPress. And they're all going towards an endpoint, but we're all sort of going our own separate ways about it. And just sort of cool to see that. So there won't be any show next week due to the 4th of July Independence holiday here in the U.S., but we'll be back the week after. And I'm currently working on putting together a roundtable episode about crowdfunding, specifically WordPress development, whether it's plugins or themes or businesses or things of that nature. So I'm reaching out to a few people who have had successful WordPress crowdfunding campaigns and see if I can't bring them on and we can just talk about how they ended up with a successful campaign and if at some point that'll just be the future of WordPress development. So instead of having a company give you all the money and pay you to do it, you just get all the people who are interested in wanting to use that plugin to give you the money, you know, up front. So working on that. And until next week, everybody have a safe and enjoyable weekend.